It's no 50% inglés.
¡Abril Luchatoré!
It's 100% Spanglish. 360 FM.ca and the World of Soccer Multimedia Network presents The World of Soccer.
Verano ardiente, mira que bien se siente. Haz que el piso reviente, siente la sensación. Hace calor.
A weekly soccer show for soccer fanatics with the best team of sports hosts and commentators. Juan Carlos Cordero, Alison Lemon, Joe Piccarelli, Sarkis Karmikian Jr., Rudy Padilla, and Nicolás Cordero Ramírez. The World of Soccer. The World of Soccer.
Hello, fan of soccer worldwide. How are you? How are you, Alison?
I'm okay. My voice isn't, though.
Yeah, I know. The flu season has attacked almost all our commentators. Rudy Padilla is also suffering the same ailment, and Joe Pecorelli is in pain, too. And I was for a week. No, it's terrible when you have a virus. I was talking to my son today because he has to coach the Mordeir Soccer Club for me today. And he said that he was feeling drowsy and dizzy. So I said, oh my God, you got the flu. He said, no, Daddy, I think I got a concussion on Sunday playing soccer. I hit the thing, I blink a little bit, and I think I have a concussion. No? So sometimes it's a concussion, sometimes it's the flu, but we're here ready to go. How are you, Cater? Are you okay?
I am excelente. It's the first time here in the soccer team.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
When it was the first time that you shoot a ball, a soccer ball?
A soccer ball? Here in Canada.
Here in Canada. And with which leg? You are a lefty or a righty?
I'm a right. Right left, yeah. But it was like about, I believe, 10 years ago, maybe less.
Yeah. You enjoy it or no?
Yes, I enjoy soccer, but it wasn't my first passion in sports.
Yeah, but in your country, Dominican Republic, the other ball is the one who is rain, no? The baseball ball, no?
The baseball. We are baseball crazy, baseball fanatic. We follow baseball throughout our whole entire life, and baseball is the passion number one within the sports.
Yeah, but now you have to learn soccer because we have the World Cup coming very soon, and we are getting ready for that. And as you know, we have a team that is going to go there. I can confirm to the people in the audience that our special correspondent, Nicolas Cordero Ramirez, will be covering these seven matches at least to start. Switzerland versus France in Salvador. Japan versus Colombia in Cuba. Bosnia versus Iran in Salvador. United States versus Germany in Recife. And then in the quarterfinals, we'll cover Colombia versus Italy, England, or Uruguay, depending who is the second in the Group D in Rio de Janeiro, no? And then he will go to Brasilia to cover France versus Nigeria or Iran. And then the first of Group H, supposedly Belgium, versus the second of Group G, Portugal. So he has a lot in mind, and we expect that Alison will be covering Spain versus Netherlands. We're working in that one. If she go there, she will have to cover Chile, Australia, Spain, and Netherlands. So are you thinking about that?
Yeah, of course. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah. What do you think about that game, Spain-Netherlands? It's going to be like a replay of the South Africa final, no?
Well, you know why? It's like the perfect mix. You got Netherlands, who's a fantastic team. Like they're all very fit and like eager to play, and then you got Spain with all the experience, the movement of the ball, and just the passion for the game. It's just going to be a really fun mix.
Yeah, it's going to be electrifying, no? It's like, you know, for example, I grew with the total football mentality from the Netherlands, no? Yeah. Rinus Michel and all the players like Johan Cruyff and Nesken, all the greatest. So I love pressing soccer. I'm not accustomed too much to the Spanish soccer because Spain, for a long while, was a really mediocre soccer. okay? Yeah. It was no very spectacular, was no so many things. But today, you see those guys, even when you put some players that are, they are not the top one, they can play, my goodness.
Yeah.
So we will see what happened there, no? We know that the World Cup start June the 12th with the match from Brazil and Croatia. But we know that also that is probably with the Corinthian Stadium where the World Cup is going to start. So we're going to have Sarkis Karamekian report regarding to that one. FIFA was very upset that they are leaving all the details for the last minute. And even though in South Africa they had problem, the delay was tremendous for the stadium. They are not very happy with what is happening there. But we know Brazil somehow will get the rabbit from the hat and it will make it happen. And I know that for the Brazilian community and the Croatian community worldwide, it's going to be an amazing game. It's also going to be two different styles. Brazil, all magic, and Croatia, very European, fast-paced, very tough game, no?
Yeah, of course.
So we're going to go with Sarkis directly from Sao Paulo, and we will see what he has to say in Portuñol, the mix of Spanish and Portuguese. So are you ready, Sarkis?
The Road to the World Cup, a weekly soccer show for soccer fanatics. Tune in every day to get the latest update and on Wednesday for our exclusive live show on 360fm.ta. The World of Soccer.
Aqui fala Sarkis Karamekian Jr. diretamente de São Paulo. Bem, estamos chegando à Copa do Mundo FIFA Brasil 2014. Faltam aí um pouquinho mais de um mês e meio, dois meses. E o estádio aqui em São Paulo, estamos torcendo para que o estádio esteja pronto. Aliás, já deveria estar pronto há muito tempo, fazerem os testes, as acomodações, principalmente a parte de segurança. Lembro a você, meu amigo e minha amiga ouvinte, que já houve uma vítima, um funcionário, quando desabou um lado das arquibancadas do estádio, aqui no bairro de Itaquera, o estádio do Corinthians. Mas, lamentavelmente, um ocorrido muito triste, obviamente. Agora, porque sempre aqui no Brasil retardam para ter um término muito mais com uma folga de tempo, mais tranquilidade, sempre em cima, sempre em última hora, sempre aquele jeitinho brasileiro para poder começar a fazer algo, isso, aquilo. Tá na hora já de mudarmos e termos mais consciência. Vamos acordar, povo brasileiro, e que sempre as coisas aconteçam para o melhor e com certa antecedência. Falou diretamente de São Paulo, Brasil, Sarkis Karamekian Jr. para o Mundo da Bola.
Brasil, all in one rhythm. Juntos no mesmo ritmo. Juntos em um solo ritmo. The World of Soccer. The World of Soccer.
Yeah, what Sarkis was saying, obrigado, Sarkis, no? What Sarkis was saying is that why all the time Brasilia left everything for the last second?
That's a Latin thing,
But you know, it's terrible. Yeah, you know what I learned living in North America, especially in Canada and United States, is that if you are not organized, nothing is going to come right. My friend Harold McNichol, that I was the media officer for the last World Cup final since USA 94, He told me that when you are with FIFA in those kind of events, you cannot even be late for 15 seconds because you know Joseph Blatter or before Avalanche was going to be in your neck. Okay, so why we sing like because we are Latin, we can live like that? There's no way. We have to be organized. We have to make it happen in a different way. It's the only way that when I coach soccer, I always say the same. We have the talent, the skill from Latin America, like Brazil, but you learn from the European how to organize in a very efficient way the training program. When you have those two things mixed, you can do something great, or no, Alison?
No, I agree with that. I'm struggling with the same thing. Traveling from academy to club, just here in Toronto and Mississauga, even Oakville, I mean. Same thing. It's like, where is it the discipline and organization to just being creative and doing a free-for-all? I think that's something that not just Brazilians lack, but also Canadians lack that as well.
Yeah, I know, for sure. And I think the important thing for Brazil is to learn from this one, because they also have the Rio de Janeiro Olympics 2016, and still they are going to organize a men and a women's soccer competition that is one of the greatest there. And if you remember last time, the memorable Canadian versus United States goal in the last second, it was... And it's going to repeat because they're going to play now May the 8th in Winnipeg. It's going to be a great game to watch. I don't know if we're going to be able to be there, but one of the special correspondents is going to go there. And for today, April 23rd, is the last day to buy the ticket pack for the Canadian 2014 Under 20 FIFA Women World Cup that is going to be held in August in Edmonton, Moncton, Montreal, and Toronto. And in Toronto, we will have seven games, starting with Canada versus Ghana and Canada versus Finland. We will have Mexico, Costa Rica, Korea Republic. We were going to have great games here in Canada. So as soon as the FIFA World Cup finishes in July there, on August the 4th, we have to be traveling to all those places. It's not exciting, Alison?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's somebody's dream that's about to happen.
Yeah, next year is going to be the Canada 2015 and the Toronto Pan Am Games. It's a lot of sport. And internationally, we have the amazing UEFA Champions League. Yesterday, I knew that it was going to be a boring game because it was Chelsea versus Athletic Madrid. Athletic Madrid has a lot of opportunities, but Jose Mourinho is a tactical coach that he put five players to defend, a very dense midfield, and he got what he wanted, a tie, and he knows that back in England, for Athletic, it's not going to be an easy mission, no? But for Chelsea, this week has been very tough because they lost a game versus Cardiff, 1-0. And then we played the Champions League yesterday. And on the weekend, they play versus Liverpool, that is the leader. So they are 5 points apart. But if Chelsea win, it's going to be 2. And still Manchester City can do something. Yeah. So it's going to be tough.
Did you watch the game yesterday?
Well, you think I was going to watch that one? No, I watched some minutes. But you know what is the problem? Is that when the game is so defensive, you understand that the coach wants to get a result. You can understand that. And he has won UEFA Champions League and many champions that way. And you have to realize that he's a tactical strategist, you know? Even his training is not even technical. It's not even physical. I was reading about his annual periodization, and it's a tactical training from off-season, on-season, and pre-season. Everything is revolved around the tactics. So every player that is playing his team, it has to be absorbing all the things that he wants, all the movement. That for people, for the public to watch, it's very boring. But for him, thinking in the result...
Exactly, but the result is not the important part, what he's looking for?
Yeah, for sure. No. You have to understand that at the end, in the UEFA Champions League, he has to be a champion.
Numbers are numbers.
He already won one, so for sure he won the second. And he won the second with the same team, because he won it with Chelsea, no? And we will see what it happened. It's not going to be easy, but he has a great team. But Liverpool in the English Premier League is playing in a way that... If they defeat Chelsea on the weekend, for sure they are the champion. Yeah. If something not happened that way, Manchester City is still around. And my friend and colleague, Manuel Pellegrini, the Chilean coach, maybe can have his shot to this one, no?
And who do you think is going to be winning today?
Oh, Real Madrid versus Bayern. Oh.
Bayern.
It's a tough question.
You're going to Bayern?
Yeah. I know La Liga is my heart, but I mean, it's Real Madrid. I can never, ever cheer for Real Madrid. Bayern. and with Pep there, it's even more Bayern.
You know, it's something, it's like everyone has contradictory feeling in that game, because what she said, I like the German soccer that Bayern play, the intensity that how they play, the way that how they move in the field, and the way that even Guardiola, playing with them, has been able to put some ideas that he has in Barcelona in this team that is physical. Yeah. You know, it's physical team.
They're going to be the best in the world.
You know, it's not like a technical like a Barcelona. It's a physical team, but still they are playing in a way that you don't see the ball from them. You see the games and 65% of the possession is in Bayern's side. But today with Real Madrid, if Ronaldo play, which is not sure...
I don't think he's going to play.
Why would you risk it?
Yeah, he's not going to risk it. But, you know, at the time he's played to play somehow.
I think they are saving him. That's it. There's not. They won not too long ago without him. So why are they going to risk it now?
Man, I have seen this scene in soccer. And sometimes the player want to go to the field. Okay, even if he's, I know that he has contradictory feeling too. The World Cup is very close. I want to go there. I want to be the best player in the world. I don't have a team to be champion, but I want to be the best. And I want to show that I'm better than Messi. And playing versus Bayern, the thing that he has good is that even though Bayern is a tough team, it's a team that doesn't play like fouling too much. I don't see them doing that. Even the guy who hit a lot, Mertesacker, is not there. Okay, yeah. He's not there. And you have players like Philipp Lahm, that is a tremendous player, and Ruben, and yeah. You know, you have a team that is nice to watch. But when the other team put a zone system and they cannot penetrate, it's getting darker for them. So. Yeah. I don't know. Real Madrid, for me, in La Liga, I like it more than Barcelona, even though in Barcelona play my countrymate Alexis Sanchez. Real Madrid, when Ronaldo is in the field, play a soccer that is closer to the thing that I like, in speed, going forward, not trying to push, move the ball in positional attack too much to the back. So it's going to be... Which one I wanted to win, Real Madrid or Bayern? It's a tough decision, man. It's a tough decision because Bayern was the champion last year, and I think Borussia deserved to win last year. And this year, Bayern, by far, is the best team of the four that they are remaining, by far. But you don't know. Soccer is so surprising. Who was going to think that Cardiff was going to defeat Chelsea 1-0 on the weekend?
Yeah.
When you have a team that each player is minimum $60 million and the other team is scratching with the nail to get a player for $2-3 million.
You know what? That's even the same thing with Granada versus Barcelona, the 1-0.
Yeah.
So, like anything can happen in this game.
Yeah. And especially now, you know, because if you remember a few years ago, Barcelona, when they were starting being the best team in the world.
When they had Ronaldinho.
Yeah, and they lost versus Manchester in the semi-final, and they supposed to win that one. And Manchester get to the final. He didn't win, but he get to the final because, as Keiter said, sometimes coaches that are prepared to risk the booing of the public to get result are the one who win. It's... At the end, It's like that. You want to win.
At the end, the numbers are the one who add up.
Yeah.
So you can be really, really tactical. You can be really good moving your players around, doing a lot of movement really good, nice. But at the end, the results, you want the results. Who won?
Yeah.
Who lost?
If you look, for example, at some of the stats, you know, lately, they have been like in America, in North America, that they put in a stat everything. How many touches, how many kilometers, how many possession, how many assistants, how many mini assistants you did. Okay, that is great for you as a coach. But at the end, the game is to win by a goal difference, no matter what. And even though I don't like that kind of game, okay, I don't like that game that is defensive because I come from a pressing mentality that you lose the ball and you go right away to recover because it's 5 seconds. You don't have time to lose because if they had 5 seconds to start moving the ball, you're not going to get it.
Yeah, but there's one thing. There's one thing. The public is watching the game.
Yeah.
And everybody's excited about how the ball is moving. But the thing is that at the end of the day, when you have the results 1 year from now, nobody's going to remember how they played that day.
For sure.
They're going to be remembering exactly what the result was that day.
For sure, for sure. So, no. You're right in that. You're right in that. The thing is that it's very difficult when you are a coach or a player to put that one in the balance because the coach sent you, for example, look at Alison as a player. Murillo will tell her that she's an offensive player that I do pressing a lot to go back to the midfield and wait. No go and pressing the other side. So she's accustomed to run a lot.
Exactly.
She's not doing that now. So she's not performing at her most efficient level. So what do you think? You trust the coach what he's saying, or she trusts her feeling that maybe pushing forward, you can score, and you are not going to risk that at the other team. Still, you can defend with nine players hanging on the bar, but what is the other team score? So your preparation means nothing. Okay, so I don't know what you think, Alison. If you were a player for Murillo, you will accept that you go back and you wait, or you still your mentality will.
Okay, well, I understand what you're saying, but I follow whatever the coach says. It's the kind of player I am,
okay. And
although I want to press and in my blood it's to move forward. You know, I mean, obviously I would probably be vocal at my teammates that if we get the opportunity, like, get your ass up there, like, push forward, let's go. But at the same time, like, I would know better to get back in position, get behind the ball and defend with my team because a team wins a game, not an individual.
Exactly. No. And you have to be careful as well following the leader because if your coach tells you to follow and to do that, whatever he asks in that moment, he can replace you anytime. And you want it to be in the game.
For sure. But have you seen the most memorable movies about winning team that had won the Super Bowl, they had won the Olympic, they had won the World Cup? I'm a coach, so this is a tough say to say, okay?
A tough scenario, especially for you being a coach.
You know, because usually the one who win the game are the player, not the coach.
Exactly.
Okay? So sometimes in the field, You can have everything very planned in your whiteboard, and you think they have moved that way, and a player in a second thinks so fast and brilliant that it changed everything.
Exactly.
And you know, another kind of coach that are going to cut the win to a player to do that. So that's the reason that when I coach risking. Knowing that, certainly, they can score on me.
Exactly.
But I'm going to score a lot on the other
but
side.
But there's one thing within that as well. It is that the player is there for one reason.
Yeah.
If they see the opportunity,
take it.
They have to take it. It doesn't matter if the coach tells you in that moment they have to back up.
Yeah.
You have to go forward in that moment because that is the opportunity. If you see it, the result we show in that moment. If you see the opportunity, even though you can miss it, you can like make a mistake along the way, but
that's part of the game as
that's
well.
That's part of the game
yeah,
as well.
But not many players do that lately. You know, I watch a lot of the English Premier League. Alison watch a lot of La Liga and Giuseppe a lot Italy. But in the English Premier League, you see that the players are so constrained to that the coach asks that they are in front of the goal, and instead of shooting because they have the space to score, they prefer to go back and then the ball is in with the goalkeeper. What attack is that?
You know what? Actually, I want to talk to bring up a moment with Alexis Sanchez a few games ago against Osasuna when they won 3-0. He got a penalty called. He had the ball in the 18-yard box, creeping up, beat a player, beat a second player, beat a third player. And as he's trying to go through a fourth player, he falls, and the ref gives him a penalty. And any coach, any parent, any player, any spectator is in their minds, you're in the 18-yard box, why aren't you shooting? Why aren't you shooting? Why aren't you passing across the net wide open? And, I mean, of course they got the penalty, they scored, thanks to Messi. But, like, again, like, why aren't you shooting? Because that could have so easily been a turnover when it could have been that goal.
Yeah.
Now the player's goal there.
And you know, that's the in this moment, the key to success for Liverpool. Player in Liverpool, Luis Suarez, the Uruguayan, Sturridge, and the last game, Sterling, that scored 2 goals, they're not afraid to shoot. They have the space. It's not even their leg. It's not even their... For example, Sterling is not a lefty, and he scored the other day 2 goals. Yeah. And one of the goals, you are the coach, you say, why you shoot? It's going to go out. And he bounced in one of the defenders, still was the 3-2. If no, they will be, oh my goodness, it was 2-2. Okay, so I rather prefer to give the player the space for creativity, and I think that the game that a Bayer play, for example, is that kind of game, like a more pressing, more high intensity, is the way that I learned to play it, I learned to coach it, and I think it can have a lot of success. And even if you see the way that they coach, you know, they created like a robot machine. Where the player is in the middle, we usually do this one with 4 players, okay? We have 1 player here, four in the size. So they pass the ball to the player, and the player has to get the ball and shoot and score or have a target.
Yeah.
So the player has to do 200 shoot in a couple of minutes, you know? So that player is intensely trained, but he knows that when he's shooting the ball, he knows that he can make it. He's not thinking because the ball is coming, he has to shoot.
Exactly.
So you see that a player like Lewandowski can score whatever goal he can because he's trained to do that.
Yeah.
Okay? I train in San Kid the same way. So they say sometimes, but why we touch so much the ball? Why we have to shoot so fast? Why we don't do this one? Because a goal opportunity is the one that is going to give you a goal.
You know what? It's also a great training way. It's almost like walking. You don't have to practice walking. You just, you know, you get up and you walk, right?
Yeah.
It's like that's exactly the coaching method. It's like we want you to be able to be so confident, comfortable with shooting that it's like walking.
Yeah. And you know that to score, this is something that a player sometimes don't believe. My brother was one of the greatest players that I have seen in my life playing soccer. He was a little bit discolo, as we say in Spanish, like a Maradona, happy life, blah, blah, blah. But he has one condition, that when he was in front of the goalkeeper, he always was cold-blooded to know what to do. So if he was diagonal in front of the goalkeeper, he knows that instead of shooting hard, he has to put it softly, like a pass to the other side. And you tell that one to a player, and the player said, are you kidding?
No, yeah, the moment will decide.
I'm not kidding. It's like a shooter like that. And then I said, the soccer game is like a play ballet. Why you look play ballet? Because sometimes you have to move in the air with your body in a way that you only do it in ballet. It doesn't supposed exactly. to be soccer, but the only way that you can do a contortion with your body, with the leg like that, and standing with one thing there, it's like you're doing that.
It is a great analogy. But at the end of the day, who are you going to go with? Real Madrid or Bayern? Because you didn't say it before.
Okay, and they're playing in Madrid. I think Madrid can win, but I remember that last year.
He's still not saying it.
Bayern Munich defeat Real Madrid 4-1 in Madrid.
He just doesn't want to jinx it.
Okay, I'm going to say Real Madrid.
Real Madrid. What's the result you think it's going to be?
2-1. It's going to be a tough game. They learned last year that they lost 4-1.
Okay.
Versus Bayern, and they was terrible, and I don't think they are going to want to repeat that one, no?
How about you, Alison?
Pep has beaten Real Madrid before Barcelona, and he'll do it again with Bayern Munich.
What do you think is going to be the result?
2-0.
2-0 and...
No, he has something in his sleeve that the other coach doesn't have. He has 14 major trophies under his belt, okay? Including UEFA Champions League, La Liga, World Club Cup. So he has an advantage. I can consider that. But I still, I'm going to go with Real Madrid. I hope Ronaldo can play. But, you know, they are saving themselves.
There's the song from Ricky Martin, Vida, came out yesterday.
Okay.
You heard the song?
Yeah, I heard it, but I don't know if it's the same like when it was in La Copa de la Vida.
Nothing compared with La Copa de la Vida. Have you heard the La Copa de la Vida? Alison have no idea about that. She wasn't born by that time.
Also in the 98.
Yes.
And it was a great hit. And this World Cup CD, I don't know, except Shakira, I don't see the whole scene that the Brazilian have, like the rhythm and the music there. It's too perfect, but still I don't get it. But let's listen what the public said about it, no?
Let's listen to the new song, La Vida is called, from Ricky Martin. It's the World Cup song from FIFA and from Sony Music. It is the number one in the super contest we had just recently.
World Cup, now in iTunes, 360FM.ca, an international syndication, ready for Brazil.
Finally the time has come, let's just dance in the sun. Everybody grab someone, and let rhythm make us one. It's a celebration. Every time we get together, all people, every nation, put your banners in the sky. Venimos a vacilar, venimos a disfrutar, vamos todos a gozar, vamos todos a cantar. La vida, buena, buena vida. Everyone across the world, man and woman, boy.
Rhythm. Juntos no mismo ritmo. Juntos en un solo ritmo. The World of Soccer. The World of Soccer. What do you guys think about the song?
Oh my God, the Cup of Life is nothing compared to what you see in Rio de Janeiro at night after the soccer game. It's like amazing how they play the congas, they dance, they sing.
It doesn't feel like it.
Even the play, like I remember that one junior that I played in AC Roma and in the 82 World Cup for Brazil. They were dancing on the street, playing instrument, and it's something different. But this is so sanitized. It's like, still I don't feel that it's the Brazil feeling.
You know what? It's just really happy.
Yeah.
Like, it's really happy, like almost kindergarten happy.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I mean, kind of. Yeah.
I feel like I want to pull out the finger paints or something. I don't know what it is.
And you know, the Brazilian, and don't take it badly this one, the Brazilian are more sexy people.
Yeah.
So you have to see that one in the music, because it's what are you going to get there? They're open. They want to enjoy the life, not only to be happy, as she said, as a kindergarten kid. They want to be enjoying the life. And you don't see that one there. I hope that the music it will be better.
I think it's too sweet, the song. It's like just a song, and we were expecting more from Ricky Martin. We were expecting actually more from Jennifer Lopez and people. We were expecting a lot more from them with those two songs. It is just a deception. Actually, this song came out yesterday, and it had like 824,000 views already in Vivo, and 14,000 out of them, they like it, but like 2,000 out of them, they don't like the song.
Yeah,
and that's a big average.
Can I tell you something? For example, I think you have one song, a couple of songs, one from La Firma Santana and the other El Camino. El Camino, yes, it's a great song. You can compare it. You see, man, they are not the full production that they have.
Exactly.
Sony Music for worldwide, and they're pushing something. Oh my goodness!
But
great.
It felt better.
It feels better. Has the ambience, and I hope we had better music for next one. And thank you very much, Alison, for coming today.
Thanks,
even though you were a little bit sick. And thank you, Cater. And I hope by the summer you can kick the ball and score a lot.
Oh, no, I'm going to try that. I'm going
to
try
you
my
have
best.
To put the ball where your mouth it is. You say you have to score.
I'm going
to
try my best. It sounds and it feels really good to be talking about soccer.
And maybe we can do a soccer tournament between the celebrities from the radio station, television station, and all the media. And maybe you can organize it.
We can invite those guys. Yes. Yeah. Those celebrities, we can invite them over.
Okay.
That would be awesome. Thank you guys for being here today.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye. 360FM.ca and the World of Soccer Multimedia Network presents The World of Soccer.
Verano ardiente, mira que bien se siente. Haz que el piso reviente, siente la sensación. Hace calor, hace calor.
A weekly soccer show for soccer fanatics with the best team of sports hosts and commentators: Juan Carlos Cordero, Alison Lemon, Joe Piccarelli, Sarkis Karmikian Jr., Rudy Padilla, and Nicolas Cordero Ramirez. The World of Soccer.
The World of Soccer.